Good morning, everyone. Shavua Tov. Thank you very much, Rabbi Winston. I noticed that the title for this morning's series of presentations is called Tshuva, Heart, Mind, and Soul. I'm not sure if this part is the heart or the mind or the soul, but we'll try to give you a little bit of everything. It's wonderful to be here with Dr. Pelkovitz and Professor Price. I'm reminded of a story of the Ger Rebbe, who was once walking the streets of Yerushalayim this time of the year. And he met a young man who was learning in Yeshivas Or Samech at the time. And the Ger Rebbe struck up a conversation with him. He says, "What do you do? Where are you spending your time?" And he said, I'm learning in Yeshiva Or Samech, but I'm not about tshuva. I don't want to be labeled that way." And the Ger Rebbe looked at him and said, "Why not? Who doesn't want to be about tshuva? That's what we're doing here this morning. We're trying to find ways to be closer to ourselves and closer to Hashem and closer to one another, tshuva in every sense of the word." So I want to speak this morning about a debate, an ongoing debate, spans, I guess, in a certain sense, all of Jewish history, a debate between Shemayim and Aretz, a debate between parent and child, a debate between husband and wife, a debate between Kudsh Abrichu Ushchintei, to use Kabbalistic metaphor, a debate who should initiate the tshuva process. And there's a standoff. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, is standing on one side of the room. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hurt by the way that we've acted towards him. And Klal Yisrael also, we feel a lot of pain, perhaps the way that Hashem has treated us. If you look at the first of the sources, I hope you have the sources in front of you. A Medrash commenting on the Pasuk at the very end of Megillas Eicha. A Medrash that appears in the Medrash on Eicha Rabbah. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha V'Nashuva. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha, Hashem, bring us back to you, v'nashuva, and we will come back. Amra Knesset Yisrael lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Jewish people say before God, creator of the world, Ribono Shel Olam, Shelchahu. The ball's in your court. It's your responsibility. Hashiveinu, that's the pasuk. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha, Hashem, bring us back to you, v'nashuva. And then we'll meet you. We'll meet you halfway, but you initiate the process. Amar Lahem, Hashem responds to Klal Yisrael, Shalachem Hu. You take the initiative. You lead the way. Shine Amar, the pasuk in the third chapter of Malachi, Shuvu Eilai v'ashuva Aleichem. Come back to me, and then I'll come back to you. And the debate continues, and Klal Yisrael responds once again, Amar Lefanov. They say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Sholem, Shalachahu. Hashem, we place the burden upon you. Shenamar shuveinu elokei yishenu. And you can imagine that the conversation would continue, volleying back and forth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, Klal Yisrael, you start. And we say, Hashem, no, you start. Lekach nemar shuveinu Hashem elecha v'nashuva. This is the closing remark, the closing pasuk of Megillas Eicha, which we read on the most painful of days in the Jewish calendar. It's hard to know who should initiate. The Ben Ish Chai, Rabbi Neuberger, I have the schus to work alongside in Bergenfield in our shul. Rabbi Neuberger always writes in the shul announcements of Shabbos Shuva that it's so important during this time that parents and children should be able to reconnect, even if they're not, God forbid, far apart, and to apologize to each other. And he often cites the Ben Ish Chai, the great Sephardi Chacham from Baghdad, who noted that really children have an obligation to apologize to parents, kibud av ve'im. But when parents see that children are struggling to find the words, parents should initiate the conversation. Even though it's more often that the children have failed in the responsibilities to honor their parents than their parents to honor their children. But sometimes it takes the parent to lead the way because it's hard sometimes to find the words. So who should lead the way? The Jewish people say, Hashem, we can't do it without you. Ribono Sholem Shelchahu. And Hashem, as it were, kiviyachol responds to us, I need you to lead the way. I need you to start. Shuva Eilai, v'ashuva Aleichem. And God forbid you can get stuck like this for a really long time. We have precedent, tragically, of two individuals who stood in their corners and refused to come together. And of course, the victim is the one who's left in the middle. What am I referring to? I'm referring to the story from Sefer Shoftim of Yiftach, who came back from the Battle of Ammon, and made a promise that the first thing to come from my home will be offered as a karban. And tragically, his daughter is the first one to walk through that threshold. And now his daughter's life is on the line. But fear not, there's a way to get around it. All he has to do is approach Pinchas, the Kohen Gadol, perhaps the head of the Sanhedrin at the time, and to ask him to annul the vow. But Yiftach, unfortunately, feels, but I'm the shofet. I'm not going to lower myself to go to Pinchas. And Pinchas says, I'm the Kohen Gadol. I'm not going to lower myself to go to Yiftach. And tragically, who gets trapped in between? The daughter of Yiftach. And again, it's a bit of a machlokus what happens to her in the end. But God forbid, there could be a stalemate. There could be, the positions are deadlocked. Everyone waiting for someone else to make that first move. Should the parent initiate? Should the child initiate? Should the husband initiate? Should the wife initiate? Again, all of the various mashalim of Asana Kadosh Baruch Hu are being played out through this medrash. And it's subtly woven, if you look in sources 2 and 3, into even the most magnificent love song of all time, Shir HaShir. Shir HaShir, which professes the awesome love that exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At times, we miss the mark, as Dr. Pelkowitz was describing. Chet is a lashon of missing the mark. And yet, amidst all of that love, again, woven into the very fabric of that love song, you have in the second chapter of Shir HaShir, in source number 2, Dodi Li Va'ani Lo. My beloved is to me, and I am to him. And more famously, in source number 3, Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. Who leads the way? Is it Dodi Li Va'ani Lo? Is it Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li? And perhaps, again, it's part of the same struggle. That, of course, there's an intense love that exists between Hashem and His people. But sometimes we're not sure who's responsible to dictate how the relationship moves forward. Who's responsible is it to heal the relationship when, God forbid, there's separation? I saw an interesting volume called Divrei Yirmiyahu, beautiful drushos. In Drush Zion, he says maybe these two psukim are somehow rooted in a machlokus between the Rambam and Rav Yosef Albo in some of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. It's a beautiful, fancy explanation, but on a simple level, whose responsibility is it? Ani l'dodi v'dodi li, dodi li v'ani lo. Unfortunately, the stalemate causes a lot of pain and a lot of hardship. So I want to study a sugya. You wouldn't often think of this as a sugya of tshuva, but ani ma'amin that it really is. And I want to study the sugya of Hashavas Aveda, returning lost objects. Because I think if we analyze the Torah's perspective on returning a lost object, we'll gain a tremendous insight into the process of tshuva. Just a couple weeks back, we read in Parshas Ki Teitze in source number 4. Lo sir'eh eshor achicha o eseyo nidachim. If you see your fellow Jews, ox, if you see your fellow Jews, sheep, nidachim, that it's cast astray, v'yisalamta mehem, don't hide yourself from it, rather hashev tishiveim la'achicha, restore the lost animal to its proper owner, to its rightful owner. V'imlo karov echicha elecha, and what if the owner is nowhere to be found? What are you going to do? I'm going to have to take this sheep into my home? And the answer is yes, take the sheep into your home. V'lo yadato, the owner doesn't realize that his animal is missing. V'asafto al toch beisecha, gather the lost creature. Have rachmanis, take it into your home. V'haya imach adrosh achicha oso, until your friend comes looking for it, your fellow Jew comes searching for it. V'ashivo salo, and restore it to him. Kein ta'asel l'chamoro, so shall you do to his donkey. V'chein ta'asel l'sim laso, to his lost garment. V'chein ta'asel l'chol aveidas achicha asher tovan mimenu umatzasa, lo suchal lehisale. Don't look away. Don't hide your face from it. Take the responsibility to deal with the lost object. That's the Torah's description of Hashavas Aveda in Parshas Ki Teitze. Earlier in the Torah, in source number 5 in Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah has a slightly different presentation of Hashavas Aveda. Ki sifka shor oivacha o chamoro to'eh. If you encounter the shor, again, the ox of oivacha, of even an enemy, someone who you're not particularly close with, or his donkey, and you see that it's to'eh, it's wandering, it looks like it's a bit lost. Hashev tishivenu lo. The Torah commands us and obligates us to take responsibility to help that lost animal find its way. I want to learn together a passage from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov was the great-grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidic movement. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov lived a very short life. By the time he was my age, he was already dead. He lived from 1772 to 1810. And he's a person of great wisdom, of great depth, someone who certainly can't be easily cast aside during these days, when 50,000 pilgrims just traveled to his burial plot in Uman for the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, his impact is still felt very strongly in the world today. And he explains the words of David HaMelech, the poignant words of David HaMelech, in a pasuk in Tehillim. The last pasuk in the very, very long chapter, Kuf Yud Tes, chapter 119 of Tehillim, pasuk 176, the final pasuk of the longest chapter of Tehillim. And David HaMelech cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's found on the page in front of you in source number 6, Ta'isi Kiseh Oved. Ta'isi, we just saw a moment ago. The pasuk describes a lost object, a lost animal that's wandering around. David HaMelech says, sometimes we're that lost animal. Ta'isi, I've strayed, I'm wandering, I feel lost, Kiseh Oved, like a lost sheep. Bakesh Avdecha. But David HaMelech, in his beautiful words of tefillah, his words of poetry, his words of longing for closeness to God, Bakesh Avdecha, Hashem, please, search out your servant. I may be lost, but I still see myself as an Eved Hashem. And David HaMelech almost contradicts his words in the final phrase, Ki mitzvosecha lo shachachti. Because I haven't really forgotten your mitzvahs. I'm a little bit lost. I'm a little bit disoriented. I'm a little bit confused. I need a little bit of guidance from you, Hashem. But please, Hashem, help me. David HaMelech is crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bakesh avdecha, search for your servant. Because I crave that closeness. I desire to be close to you. Explains Rabbi Nachman of Breslov in his magnum opus, the Likutei Moran, in source number 7, in Torah Reish Vav, Ki yesh chilek gadol ba'aveira sha'osa ha'adam chas v'shalom, beinim nis'orer tekef umiyad v'shav b'tshuva. Rabbi Nachman explains the words of David HaMelech. There's a big difference how quickly we engage in the tshuva process after we begin to go astray, after we start to lose our way. Dr. Balkwitz was just describing a few moments ago that sad story with the happy ending, of course, of that young man who found his way back to his Yiddishkeit. But it's always the same way he was describing how change in a positive sense takes place gradually. Often change in a negative sense takes place gradually. When a person begins to stray, what happens next? Do we enter into that pattern of avera goreres avera, where things start to spiral out of control? Or do we quickly get back into line and catch ourselves before, God forbid, we slip very far? Says Rabbi Nachman again, let's read the words inside. Ki yesh chiluk gadol ba'aveira sha'osa ha'adam chas v'shalom. There's a great difference when one, God forbid, engages in sinful behavior. Bein im nis'orer tekef umiyad v'shav b'tshuva. Whether one immediately responds with the gift of tshuva. Azai efshar lo bekal lachzor l'makomo. Then it's much easier when we catch ourselves, when we recognize that deviation in our behavior, and we catch ourselves, it's easy for a person to come back to one's place. Ki adayin lo nisrachek harbe mehaderech hatov. Because we have not yet strayed far from the path that we obviously would like to be upon. Ki kisha osa aveira chas v'shalom, azai holech venota mehaderech hayashar el derech acher mekulkal. Because when we make that first move, when we step off the path, well, now we've opened up the possibility of many, many other paths. Some of them very much self-destructive paths. Visham yotze me'oso aderech kamam v'kamam nesivos udrachim toim u'mikulkalim. That first step off the main road leads to many other paths. Many of them unknown, very frightening paths. Corrupted, crooked paths. Shekev shemaschilin leilechas v'sholom ba'oso aderech hara. When we chart that path that's negative and destructive, as I toim unavochim be'elu hadrachim, we get lost on those paths. The Rambam wrote a work called the Moreh Nevuchim, a guide for those who are nidach, those who have lost their way. An amazing work of Jewish philosophy, trying to make sense of Torah and mitzvos for those who have charted a different path to such a degree that they don't think the Torah makes sense anymore. So Rabbi Nachman describes, we all find moments in our life where we step off of the proper path, the Derech Hashem, and we start to chart a different path. And that path leads to many other back alleys and darkened pathways. And it could be difficult. Once a person continues to stray, it becomes much more difficult to find one's way back to the main road. Aval, continuing in the second paragraph, Hashem yisbarach darko likros es ha'adam tekaf kisharo eshu toa. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out to a person In a variety of ways, says Rabbi Nachman, when you step off that path, Hashem is immediately trying to contact you. Hashem wants to remind you, be careful. One wrong move can lead to a lot of wrong moves if you don't catch yourself. Hashem reaches out to the person, v'koro shiashuv la'achrav. Hashem immediately tells you, turn back, retreat. U'lechol echad kore lefi b'chinasa. And Hashem has a lot of different ways of communicating. Each person, according to his or her way. Yesha karo b'ramiza. Sometimes God calls to us with a hint. Hashem hints to us in a subtle way. If we're paying attention, we'll get the message. Yesh b'kriya mamish. Sometimes we feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to me directly. Certainly there were prophets who heard the voice of God. We have the concept of a baskol. But there's times where even, maybe not with our physical ears, but I hear the voice of God in my mind, in my heart. V'yesha bo'it bo'u makeo. And sometimes the baskol, sometimes the call from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when a person, you know, gets in their car and they're heading to a place they don't belong, and they get that flat tire on the road, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, if you're going to try to deviate, I'm going to stop you dead in your tracks. Sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu strikes us. Hashem punishes us as a way to guide us back to the path. There's many ways that a Kodesh Baruch Hu tries to contact us. So therefore, when a person begins to chart that path that could be destructive, it's easy for a person to turn back. Because when Hashem calls out to you, the voice is still familiar. It's the voice of Hashem that you're accustomed to. The deviation was a small break in one's pattern of listening to the voice of Hashem. And therefore it's easy to hear the voice of Hashem. But says Rabbi Nachman, what happens as you get deeper and deeper into the forest? What happens when the voice of Hashem is no longer familiar to you? What happens when a person has strayed so far that they don't even recognize the voice of their own parent anymore? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avinu Sheba Shemayim. What happens then? He writes in that small little paragraph, Aval, Kishekvar nata harbe mehaderech, azai kvar shachach es hakol ve'eino makir bo. God forbid a person could stray so far from the path that the voice of Hashem is foreign to us. Instead of Hashem inviting us back in, we hear Hashem burdening us with more obligations and more responsibilities. The same way that when a sheep disappears from the flock, the master calls out, the shepherd calls out, inviting the sheep back, trying to find the lost shepsula. But as time goes on, if he can't find the sheep, God forbid the shepherd gives up hope of ever finding the sheep. And when the sheep realizes that the sheep's cries are no longer being heard, as the sheep is crying out, hoping that it can find its way back to the flock, the sheep also becomes despondent and gives up hope. David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with all of these images in mind, David HaMelech says, where it's bolded to Hashem, Ta'isi kaseh oved, Ribono Sholem, I'm a little bit lost. I'm like the sheep that just stepped away from the flock. Hainu sheta'isi mehaderech hayashar kaseh oved hanota mehaderech. I'm like the sheep that just deviated a moment ago, got left behind while all the other sheep went to get something to drink. Al kain ani shol milfanecha bakesh avdecha. But Hashem, says David HaMelech, I'm still seeking your voice. I'm not so far off the path that I can't hear when you call out to me. So Hashem, just call me up. Send me that sign, whether it's b'derech remiza, or whether it's a kol mamish, or whether it's whatever it is, whether it's striking me to get back into line. But David HaMelech says, search for me, ki mitzvosecha lo shachachti. Because Hashem, you know and I know that deep down inside, I want to be better. Hainu shetimaher levaksheni kol zman shani zocher adayin asakol. David HaMelech says, Hashem, please call out to me. Don't stand in your corner. Don't stand on principle. And say, if you want to come back, you find your way back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, call out to me while your voice is still familiar to me. Because I really want to come back and I just need a little bit of guidance. I'm just not sure exactly where to find you. But I want to add a hosafa to the words of Rabbi Nachman. If you turn to the top of the second page, I found an amazing addition to this comment of Rabbi Nachman. The author here is obviously not citing Rabbi Nachman. It's found in the writings of the Chafetz Chaim al Torah, in a footnote quoting from Rabbi Moshe Mordechai Epstein. Moshe Mordechai Epstein was the Rosh Yeshiva in Slobodka, invited by the Alter of Slobodka in 1897 to take that position. Passed away in 1933, also a relatively young life. And Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein comments on a Gemara in Maseches Makos. In the second line, the Gemara in Maseches Makos tells us in Daf Chav Dalet, Amar Aleph, Amar Rav, Rav one time lamented the fact that he was terrified of a pasuk that we find in the Tochacha in Parshas Bechukosai. Mistafina mehai kra. I'm frightened when I see this verse. What verse was he referring to? Parshas Bechukosai, Va'avadtem bagoyim. That you will be lost amongst the nations of the world. And Rav said, when I read this pasuk, when I hear the words of the Tochacha, lost amongst the nations, I'm terrified. Is it possible for the Jews to be lost, to somehow be swallowed up by the nations of the world? No longer having an identity, a place in the world? Maskif la Rav Papa. On the last page of Maseches Makos, Rav Papa turns to his contemporary, and he says to him, I challenge you not to worry. It can't be. Dilma ka'aveda ha-mispakeshas. When the pasuk says we'll be lost amongst the nations, but maybe we'll be like the type of object that's lost and is mispakeshas and is seeking to be found. Dichsiv ta'isi kase'oved vakesh avdecha. And he quotes the words of David HaMelech that we just spent some time learning together. Maybe we'll be lost amongst the nations, but maybe we'll still have a voice. Maybe we'll be able to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Hashem, help us to find our way back. Explains Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein in the fourth line. V'habiyorhu, d'yeshnan shnei mine avedos. There are two types of lost objects. There's a lost object that helps to try to find its way back. A lost animal is looking for its owner just as the owner is looking for the lost animal. Tragically, there's a type of lost object that sits there inanimate like a rock. A person loses their wallet. You're very concerned to find the wallet, but the wallet is not searching for you, I would think. The owner is searching for his lost possession. But the object doesn't have the mental wherewithal to help in that process, to help to be found. Klomer eino ozereslo. It doesn't help. It's not helping its owner. However, he says, there's a type of lost object, a living lost object. If it's true about a sheep, it's certainly true about the Jewish people who sometimes get lost amongst the nations of the world. We struggle to have a clear identity, to understand what our values are. It happens at times that we lose ourselves. But he says, Yeshna Veda Shehi Ba'atzma Mispakeshes. There's a lost object that wants to be found. Klomar Misayeya Hi Labal HaAveda Lamatza. Helps its owner to identify you. Kamose Im Ovad Meider. Like that sheep that strays from the flock. Haroa Michazer Acharav. Shepherd is searching for the sheep. La Shiva La Eider. Vigamase Mitzido. Tzoik. But the sheep is also crying out. Hoping that its shepherd will be able to find it. And therefore, says Rav Papa to Rav, don't be nervous. You see a pasuk in the most painful pasukim of the Torah, Vavatem bagoyim, you'll get lost amongst the nations of the world. But the Jewish people have that voice. The Jewish people somehow are able to always identify that call inside of them that wants to be close to Hashem. And it calls out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he ends, Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein ends the passage. If you look just the last two lines, he ends with that quote that takes us back to the Medrash that we started with. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, Shuva Eilai V'Ashuva Aleichem. As long as your voice is still crying out, as long as you're helping me, as long as you're meeting me along the way, there's an achrayus, there's a responsibility that we have to have, even when we're lost, to say, Hashem, we're trying to meet you somewhere in the middle. That sounds like a healthy model, no? God, you look for us, we'll look for you. And somewhere in the middle we'll meet up. But ta'isi kase ove, David HaMelech says, I still have a voice, I'm still trying to help you, to help me, to find myself. Rav Shalom Shwadron, the great Maggid of Yerushalayim, told an amazing story. It's in a little volume called Sha'alavicha V'yageidcha. He says there was a young teenage boy who was studying in Kiryat Noar, in Boys Town in Jerusalem, in Yerushalayim. He said he came from a family, as many of the boys in that high school did, where Torah education was certainly not a priority. But there were parents who allowed their children who were interested in getting a Torah education to study Torah. And this young man was studying in Kiryat Noar. He said his father hadn't come to shul, hadn't had any formal religious experience in over 30 years. But he was very proud of his son for choosing this path, and he was encouraging, and he allowed him to do it. And one year, Erev Shavuos, his father shows up to join the yeshiva. Son's very taken aback. My father, in 30 years, hasn't done anything religious. He's somewhat anti-religious. Again, he allows me to make choices for myself. He said, my father showed up. He said he was curious. He wanted to see what was so attractive to me. Why did I want to be there so badly? And he showed up. He checked himself into the yeshiva. Erev Shavuos, he shows up. He said, that Shavuos, he said, my father came with me. We spent the whole night, Shavuos night. We stayed up all night learning together. My father opened the siddur for the first time in over 30 years. He said, and as was the practice, as many people have the practice, towards the end of the night, we started to recite Tehillim. The yeshiva was reciting Tehillim. And as my father was going through, reciting Psukim of Tehillim, all of a sudden he came upon the pasuk, Ta'isi kaseh oved, the pasuk we've been studying this morning. Bakesh avdecha. And he said, my father fainted. My father literally fainted. And we brought cold water, we revived him. And he sat there bawling like a baby. And he just kept saying over and over again, Ta'isi kaseh oved, bakesh avdecha. Ta'isi kaseh oved, bakesh avdecha. A father, v'heshev le'evavos albanim, like Dr. Pelkovitz mentioned. A child bringing a father back to Torah. But after 30 years, he's still somehow inside of himself. He still heard that voice. He was able to hear the cry of David HaMelech and find himself within that story. Ta'isi kaseh oved. I'm the lost sheep. Bakesh avdecha, ki mitzvosecha lo shachachti. Because deep down inside, I know that I want to be close to you. I'm not a lost object that's a domain. I'm not a rock. I'm not a wallet that's lying on the floor waiting for someone to discover it. I'm an aveda hamisbakeshes. I'm an aveda that wants to be found. Shuva elai v'shuva elechem. Hashem, you should have the confidence to know that we're trying to find our way back to you. We want to meet you halfway. But my friends, we started with two psukim, two different passages in the Torah that describe Hashavas Aveda. One of them was the passage in Parshas Mishpatim about the seh that's to'eh, that's wandering, that's a little bit lost, that's strayed a little bit from the path. And we've understood it through the perspective of David HaMelech, we've understood it through the perspective of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. But the Ramban says, what about the other passage? What about the lost object in Parshas Ki Tetze? Let's return just for a second to source number 4. Lo sira es shor achicha o eseyo nidachim. What's the difference between the sheep that's nidach and the sheep that's to'eh? Writes the Ramban in source number 9. Vehosif bekan lomar nidachim. This is not just the sheep that's wandering. That's slightly disoriented. Ki to'eh she ta'a midarko v'yachol lahatoso haderech below amel gadol. The sheep that's a little bit off, the sheep that's to'eh, it's not so hard to get it back in line. That's what Rabbi Nachman was describing. That's what David HaMelech was saying. I'm trying to help in the process. I want to meet you part way. However, says the Ramban, but in Parshas Ki Tetze, when you come to Chumash Devarim, a little bit later in the Torah, the situation has changed quite a bit. Va'ata hizkir nidachim shebarchu mimenu v'herchika. Nidach means cast astray. Nidach is the sheep that's long gone, that's very far from its owner. And not only that, says the Ramban, here we're describing not only a sheep, a kosher animal, but it's talking about a chamor. The Torah emphasizes a chamor, shehu behema tmeya, which is a non-kosher animal. And not only that, the Torah is not only talking about animals, which again have the consciousness, have the awareness to be able to try to help the owner to find itself, but v'chein ta'asel l'sim l'so. We're talking about an inanimate object. We're talking about a lost shirt that's lying there gathering dust in the corner. Even though the object is not so valuable, and the object can help in the process. And we're talking about any lost thing, says the Ramban in this passage. Mikol kli beso, anything that it is, whatever it is, seemingly unimportant things, where it's not able to help in the process. So now we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, hold on a second. What happens when the Jewish people, halavayich, never get to that point? But what happens if we or someone we know is in the category of nidach, that they seem so lost that they're not even searching for themselves anymore? They're not trying to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu part way. It's not shuva elai v'shuva elecha. It's a Jew who strayed so far that they don't feel that Bakish Avdecha, that they still identify, even if it's in some subconscious way, as an Eved Hashem. So Baruch Hashem, we have these psukim, we're in luck. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the Torah. And I say that very seriously. There's a Yerushalmi in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that says, God practices what He preaches. He's a good role model for us. Any parent knows, I can't tell my children to do something that I'm not prepared myself to do. The Yerushalmi says, God keeps the Torah. There's countless examples throughout Chazal. Whether it's we wear tefillin and Hashem wears tefillin, like the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah. There's many examples. Like Hashem keeps Shabbos. There's a lot of fascinating questions and interesting comments in the Achronim that discuss cases where, you know, Hashem is being held accountable, so to speak, for His Torah. Hashem practices what He preaches. So we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we're a To'eh, we'll meet you halfway. If we're a Nidach, Hashem, Hashava Saveda. If we've become a Behemoth Tameah, God forbid. If we've become an animal, we've become so animalistic in our urges, in our desires. If we've acted Tameh, if we've made ourselves impure. If we've become deafened by our sins to the point that we're not even helping in the process, we don't even realize we're like, again, that shirt, that wallet, that object sitting in the corner gathering dust. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have an obligation. It's called Hashavas Aveda. But my friends, we have one little problem. Because there is one little loophole in Hashavas Aveda. There is an individual who's exempt and is not tasked with the responsibility of returning lost objects. And we turn to the Gemara in Bava Metzia in source number 10. Because you'll notice in the Psukim, it says, on the one hand, Lo Sucha Lihi Salem, going back to our Pasuk in Kitetze. On the one hand, Lo Sucha Lihi Talem, you're not allowed to hide yourself. You're not allowed to ignore the lost object, as burdensome as it might be. I don't want to deal with this individual. I don't want to deal with this lost object. I don't want to deal with this wallet. It's going to take time to find the owner. I don't want to be busy with it. The Torah warns us, don't be selfish. You can't conceal your face from it. And yet, earlier in the passage, in the Pasuk, it says, v'hisalamta mehem, which implies that there are times where, yes, v'hisalamta mehem, in a positive sense, you are allowed to conceal your face. So which is it? Says the Gemara in Bava Metzia in source number 10. Tanu Rabbanan v'hisalamta, one may hide oneself. Pa'amim sha'ata misalem, sometimes you're allowed to hide yourself. Upa'amim sha'i'ata misalem. And sometimes you're not allowed to hide yourself. So who does the Torah task with the responsibility of returning the most lost objects? HaKetzad, asked the Gemara. How does it work? HaYakoin v'haya b'beis HaKvaros. If a person is a priest, guarding oneself from ritual impurity, and the object is found in a cemetery, the Kohen is exempt from going into the cemetery. OShaHayazakein v'eina l'fi kvodo. What if it's an older person? And it would be inappropriate. It would be a lack of honor for them because of the nature of the object or because of the stature of the individual that they should have to burden themselves, busy themselves with this type of lost object. It wouldn't be appropriate for them to be tasked with that responsibility. If it's beneath one's kavod, then one can say, this lost object is not for me. A zakein ve'enu lefich kvodo. Or, the Gemara gives other examples, in all of those cases, v'yisalamta mehem, one is allowed to avoid returning the lost object. So my friends, we have a big problem now. Because is there a greater zakein? Is there anyone older than God Himself? Is there anyone who deserves the kavod to not have to deal, so to speak, with the dirty laundry, with the nidachim, with the tumah of that lost object? Is there anyone more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who we should exempt from having to be involved with, so to speak, dealing with the garbage, so to speak, that which is beneath Hashem's dignity for Hashem to be busy with? And I'll make the question even stronger from a halachic standpoint. There's a volume of writings from a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, by Yosef Lieberman is his name. Mishnas Yosef is the name of the Sefer. You don't have it on the page in front of you. In the 10th volume, in Simen Kuf Pehe, 185, he discusses an interesting question in halacha. What if you find a lost object that's dangerous or destructive? Let's take the example, you know, someone lost a pack of cigarettes. Do you have to return the lost cigarettes to the person? It's not healthy for them. It's harmful to them. You should put them in the garbage. It's time for them to kick the habit. Hashavas Aveda, should I return something which is self-destructive to its owner? He discusses that question. So maybe you could argue that why should we take responsibility? Why should we task HaKadosh Baruch Hu with dealing with a Jew who's only bringing disgrace to the Jewish people? Why should Hashem have to chase after this nidach, after this Jew who's no longer seeking connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It seems unfair to task HaKadosh Baruch Hu with that responsibility. But we're in luck, because Rav Yosef Lieberman, in that essay, in the Mishnas Yosef, volume 10, he says we need to distinguish between two types of destructive items. There are things, there are possessions, which are inherently bad, which are inherently evil, which are negative by their very essence. And such items, he says, perhaps the Torah would tell us not to return such an object. Nothing is gained by returning such a lost object. But then there are items which can be used in a positive way and can also be used in a negative way. And there the Torah would demand of us to return the object with the hope and the confidence that the individual who's getting that item will make better choices in the future, will use the item in the right way. And therefore, from that perspective, maybe the Jewish people, if we've lost our way, if we've strayed a bit, maybe it is reasonable to say, Hashem, bring us back. We'll do better next time. We're inherently good. We'll make better choices. We'll use our souls in the right way. But what about the other problem? What about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Zakein Ve'inu Lefi Chvodo? Maybe it's beneath God's dignity that Hashem should be the one to try to bring us back, to reach out to us during these days. There's a Rambam in Hilchos Aveda. And Rav Yisachar Dov of Belz, the Belzer Rebbe, cited this Rambam perhaps as an answer to this question. Rav Yisachar Dov of Belz said that the Rambam writes, even though the halacha pardons, it allows the Zakein to say, this is beneath my dignity to be involved with this type of object, this type of item, or in our mashal, this type of person. But the Rambam allows and perhaps encourages the Zakein to go lifnim mishura sadin, to go beyond the letter of the law and to say, you know what, even though I don't have to, I still want to, and I still should. So maybe we turn to Hashem and we say, Hashem, have a little rachmanis on us. I know we've let you down. I know you're exempt from Hashavas Aveda. I know it's not really your problem. It's not really your responsibility. But Hashem, believe that we're inherently good because you know it better than we know it. Believe that we can make better choices. And even though we can't demand it of you, we ask it of you. We beseech it of you. We ask for your rachmanis. But I think we can say even better. Rabbi Akiva Eger once came to Warsaw. He had a relative who was living in Warsaw at the time, a very pashut Yid, a simple Jew. Rabbi Akiva Eger, Hagon, Rabbi Akiva Eger, Chacham. And Rabbi Akiva Eger decided, I want to go and visit my relative in Warsaw. And the people who were traveling with Rabbi Akiva Eger felt it was beneath his dignity. You're going to go to him? You're the Gadol Hador. Let him come to you. You know, the posters are up all over town. The Kol Kor, Rabbi Akiva Eger's in town. Tzadik Balair, let him come to you. You're going to go to him? And Rabbi Akiva Eger turned to the people who were with him, turned to his entourage, and he said, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking about that Gemara in Bav Metzia. Zakein Eino Lefi Kvodo. I'm a Talmud Chacham, a much greater person, a much greater stature, world-renowned. Rabbi Akiva Eger, in his tremendous humility, said, but you're making a terrible mistake. Because Zakein Ve'eino Lefi Kvodo also has an exception. And he cited the verse in Yeshayah in source number 11. The Navi Yeshayah tells us, Halo peros l'ra'ev lachmecha, va'aniya merudim tavi bayis, ki sira arum v'chisiso, umibsarcha lo tisalam. Mibsar chaloti salam, says Rabbi Akiva Eger. Even though the Torah says, v'hi salamta, that sometimes you're allowed to look away if it's a zakin ve'inu lefi chvodo. But the Navi Yeshayah reminds us, that's true if it's not a relative. When it's your own relative. Mibsarcha, from your own flesh, lotis alam. A person's not allowed to look away. And therefore Rabbi Akiva Eger said, the rule of zakin ve'inu lefi chvodo, that it's beneath the dignity of this elder, prestigious Jew to lower himself to take care of a lost object, a petty lost object. That's not true when it's one's relative. Mibsarcha lo tisalam. So therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu, we say to you, Rabbonu Shalom, Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem, we're your children. When a child goes lost, no matter how far that child has strayed, again, think back to the story Dr. Pelkovitz shared with us just about 40 minutes ago. Think about a child who loses his way or her way. Think about the feeling a parent has. Think about that moment when you're in the supermarket and your kid wanders off one aisle over and just for a second he's out of sight or she's out of sight. And all of a sudden you're gripped with this fear. What happened to my child? And you know it's irrational. Your child, I'm sure, is just right around the corner. I'm sure they're just right around the bend. Right? But for a second you're holding your child's hand and you get separated. that feeling, that desire, that longing to reconnect. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say to you during these days, as we sing in the Yedid Nefesh, as many people sing at various points throughout Shabbos, Yedid Nefesh Av HaRachaman. Of Naftali of Rapshitz, the great tzaddik, pointed out, Yedid Nefesh Av HaRachaman, loving Father, V'chusana, in the third stanza, V'chusana Al Ben Ahuvecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have pity, take mercy on your beloved children. V'chusana, and how do we conclude that stanza? V'al tis alam, don't conceal yourself. Maybe you could argue, Zakin ve'eno lefi chvodo, it's beneath your dignity. But that's not true when it comes to a relative. Rabbi Kiva Eger said, there's no Zakin ve'eno lefi chvodo when it comes to providing for one's relatives, taking care of one's relative. So let's wrap up and go back to the medrash that we started with. There's a standoff. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people standing on opposite sides of the room, as it were. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva. Hashem, we ask you to bring us back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to us, Shuva Eilai v'ashuva Aleichem. Hashem says, I want you to initiate. Meet me halfway. At least be like David HaMelech. Be the Aveda Misbakeshas. Be the lost object that's trying to help itself to be found. The Jewish people respond to Hashem, no, the burden is upon you. Shuveinu Elokei Yishenu. And that's how the Medrash ends. Again, I told you, perhaps the conversation goes back and forth again and again and again. What's the psak halacha? What's the conclusion? How do we paskin? How do we decide in such a case? So I'll tell you a story. Rav Gustman, the great Rosh Yeshiva, amazing Torah personality, he sat on the Beis Din of Rav Chaim Ozer in Vilna as a young man in his 20s, eventually survived the Holocaust, came to Eretz Yisrael, was building a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and he said to himself, I'm not sure what to do about building my yeshiva. He went to the Kotel one day, and he was overheard having the following conversation with the Creator of the world, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He stood at the Kotel and he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, I want to build my yeshiva. And there's a piece of land in Geula, in the Geula section of Yerushalayim, where I could build my yeshiva at a very reasonable price. The Chabina Rav told me that I should build my yeshiva in Rechavia. That's where Rav Gusman's yeshiva stands till this day. Beautiful building. So Rav Gusman's standing at the Kotel and he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't know what to do. On the one hand, I believe that the tzaddikim, that the Talmidei Chacham of the generation, Rav Gusman himself was Gon Olam, but he said the Chabina Rav, who I am mavatel my das to the Chabina Rav, Rav Dov Beresh Wiedenfeld, Chabina Rav says I should build in Rechavia. I think it's more affordable to build in Geula. I believe that Hashem, your voice, is being conveyed in the world through the tzaddikim of the generation. So if the Chabina Rav says this, I guess that's what you want, Ribbono Shel Olam. So I'm here, I'm standing at the Kotel, and I'm asking you, God, is my logic correct? Should I build the yeshiva in Rechavia? Looks up at the wall, waiting for an answer. Standing there, waiting. Okay, Eibishter, we have a halachic principle. Shtika kahoda. Silence is acceptance. I guess you agree. Oh, and by the way, Hashem, says Rav Gusman, if you agree with my logic, I guess that means you're going to help me get the money for the building as well. The more expensive building in Rechavia. 2 days later, Rav Gusman had the money to build his beautiful yeshiva in Rechavia. So we could say that the way that the Medrash concludes, Klal Yisrael got the last word in. Ribbono Shel Olam, Shelcha Hu. Medrash ends there. Hashem doesn't respond. So maybe that's enough to serve as a psak halacha. Maybe shtika koda Ribbono Shel Olam, during these days, halavai we should meet you halfway. But even if we're nidach, even if we're so lost that we don't know how to find our way back to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe you'll do us a favor, maybe you'll do it for us. Mibasarcha al tisalim, not to hide yourself from your loving children. But you can't end the shir on a shtika koda psak. We need a better psak than that. So turn to the final source. A small little volume, Yeshua's Yisrael. Stories, recollections of Rabbi Yisrael of Rizhin, a great Hasidic Rebbe from the late 1700s, early 1800s. A story that took place one time on Shushan Purim. He's sitting at the Shushan Purim Tish, and he's having this conversation, this medrash. He's recounting this medrash, the medrash that we began with in Eicha Rabbah. And he writes in the third line, V'kodem birchas hamazon, the holy Rizhin, Rabbi Yisrael of Rizhin, who lived in a palace because he wanted to restore the honor, the nobility to the Jewish people. They wanted the world to recognize the Jewish people as the noble class. Heiniach etzbos yad yamino al shochan. He placed his right hand down on the table. His holy hand, he placed it on the table right before benching on a Shushan Purim.
sitting surrounded by his chassidim, and he said the following: Vayomer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Li Yisrael, Shuva Elai VaShuva Aleichem. Hashem says to the Jewish people, you initiate the process, you go first. Okay? Va'achar kach, in the next line, hafach et bo'ez yad yamino. He turned his hand the other way and he said, but Hashem, but we say just the opposite. Hashiveinu Hashem elecha v'nashuva. And not only that, we have a good explanation for ourselves. He writes in the bottom line of the right column, yesh lanu golis kasha v'tirdas ha'parnasa. We've suffered so much, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're lost and it's not even our fault. You've made it so difficult for us. How do you expect us to find the way back to you? We don't know how to make our way back to you, Hashem. Continuing in the left column. Then he placed his other hand down on the table. You say that we should return to you. And it went back and forth and back and forth. Sitting there, moments before benching, Shushan Purim Tish, somewhere in the early 1800s. Hashem, you say we should initiate. But we say, it's really hard, and you should initiate. And he went back and forth, turning his hands up and down, time and again. In the fourth line, Uvesof Siyem Vayomer, Hadin Im B'nei Yisrael. The Rishner says the Psak is with the Jewish people. Because after all that we've been through in this long galus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to meet you halfway, we're not even sure that we know how to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have rachmanas on your children. It's a few days before Yom Kippur. We're going to try our best to meet you. We take achrayas. We want to do our best to meet you along the way. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if God forbid we end up in that category of nidach, if we become like that behemah tmeya, if we become like that inanimate object that doesn't even know how to find its way back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we beseech you, have rachmanas on us. Follow the psak of a Rishol of Rishon, that the din is with the Jewish people. Shtika koda, we got the last word in on that medrash. So I leave you with the story of Rav Eli Melech of Lizhensk. Rav Eli Melech of Lizhensk was visited one time on Erev Yom Kippurim, and his chassidim said, Rebbe, what should we be thinking about? It's Erev Yom Kippurim. Give us some insight. And he said, you want insight from me? Go talk to Moishel the shoemaker. He'll tell you what Erev Yom Kippur is about. The chassidim were taken aback. They went to visit Moishel the shoemaker, and they walk into Moishel's house, and it's Erev Yom Kippur. He's sitting with his children, a simple peasant, a pashut yid, and he says to his children, bring out the books. Chassidim are watching, and they bring out these two books. And Moshe opens up one of the books and he says, Rabbono Shel Olam, book number one, filled with all of my sins, all of my shortcomings from the past year. I tried to keep it accounting. I spoke Lashon Hara. I didn't make a proper bracha. I mumbled through my benching and my davening. I wasn't careful in Hilchos Shabbos like I should have been. A whole list. And he started reading off the book. It's a big book. Hashem, I have a lot to apologize for. And then Moshe the shoemaker opened up the second book. And he said, but Rabbono Sholem, you too have sins. You also have some shortcomings. What about that poor woman who passed away in my neighborhood from cancer? That wasn't very nice. And what about that family that couldn't make ends meet and struggles financially for so long? Hashem, what do you say about that? And he started rattling off all of the suffering, all the hardships of the Jewish people, everyone that he knew who had suffered that year. And then he closed the two books and placed them on the table in front of him and it said, Hashem, I'll make a deal with you. You forgive me for the sins in book number one, and I'll forgive you for the sins in book number two. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us to meet him halfway. But again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we ask you, have rachmanas on your children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help us to find our way back to you and inscribe each of us in the book of life, granting us a gemar chasima tova. Thank you very much.